Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening tonight as well as every Sunday evening at this time. I was going to talk some more about divorce and remarriage this week, a continuation of last week's program, and then I realized that this Saturday night I have a debate coming up on women preachers. So I thought I'd talk about women preachers tonight, talk somewhat about the debate. The debate is this Saturday, July the 30th. At 6 p.m. in Meridian, Mississippi. If you're within driving distance of Meridian, Mississippi, and you'd like to see what a religious debate is like, then if you'll send me an email message, I'll send you a flyer for the debate that tells all the details, where it's going to be, the time, the directions, and everything. Of course, the topic is whether or not women can preach from the pulpit. I'm going to be trying to prove from the Bible that they should not, and my opponent, it will be a friendly debate, of course, my opponent will be contending that it's scriptural for a woman to preach from the pulpit. If you'd like me to send you a flyer, an announcement about the debate with all the details, request that by sending an email to BibleCrossfire@email.com. That's BibleCrossfire@email.com. Like I said, the debate is this coming Saturday night at 6 o'clock in the Meridian, Mississippi area. I believe I can prove conclusively that it is a sin for a woman to preach in the church. And a passage that says that so clearly is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." You know, I really can't think of any subject the Bible is clearer on than 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, forbidding women preachers. Can you? It says the women are to keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted unto them to speak. And at the end of verse 35, it says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. It's if I wasn't used to it, it would be amazing to me why so many churches, a large majority of churches that claim to be Christian churches, allow women to preach from the pulpit when you have a verse that is this clearly forbids it. Clearly forbids it. Yet, most churches, as I said, that claim to be Christian will allow it. It's like they're not paying attention to the Bible anymore. They're not following the Bible anymore. If you have a Bible question or comment, give me a call at 877-655-6755. You know, this text says the women are not to speak in the church. They're to be silent in the church. What do I mean by in the church? Well, I mean the exact same thing that this passage means when it says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. We're not talking about the church building necessarily, but we're talking about the church assembly. I think verse 23 of the same chapter helps us to set the context. It says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place," that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the Sunday school time period when you have a bunch of different classes with different teachers. I'm not saying that a woman cannot speak then. I'm not saying that a woman can't speak at home. I'm not saying that a woman can't speak in a restaurant. It's when they lead the Sunday school classes and the whole church all comes together into one place. That's what verse 23 says. That's when verse 34 and 35 says she is to keep silence in that particular arrangement, in the church, the assembled church. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment on this topic or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. We'll probably come back to 1 Corinthians 14 if we have time, but right now I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy 2, verse 12, which shows us another place the Bible would forbid what we normally call women preachers. Let me read 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. It says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not." That's the King James way of saying I allow not. "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." In this text, what is the command that we're given? Well, the command is not to teach over the man. To whom is the command given? To the woman. When does the command apply? Well, this is at all times, but that would certainly include the church assembly. So 1 Timothy 2:12 condemns a woman teaching over a man. This would include, like, a woman leading a Bible class that has men in it. Not being a student in the class, but if she were to lead a Bible class with men in it, then she would be teaching over men, so she would violate 1 Timothy 2:12, where Paul said he does not allow a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. This would also apply to the church assembly, and that's what the debate is about Saturday night, a woman preaching in the church. This would forbid her from doing that because when she's preaching to the church assembly, assuming there's any men in it, she would be teaching over the men. She would be set up in a leadership position in that teaching position. My opponent Saturday night is going to say that women may preach to the church, which includes men, but this verse forbids that. You know, perhaps I should clarify the issue. The issue is not, can women teach the gospel? There are a lot of passages in the Bible that show that women taught the gospel. Acts 21 says Philip had four virgin daughters, which did prophesy. They taught the gospel. We've brought up Acts 8, 1 and 4 says the whole church, which would include the women, went everywhere preaching the word. Women taught the gospel. Titus 2, 3 through 4 says the aged women are to teach the younger women. And that's talking about the gospel. The aged women are to teach the younger women. So we're not saying women can't teach at all, but we're specifically focusing in on the debate Saturday night is, can a woman be a preacher, as we commonly use the term? In other words, when the whole church comes together in one place, can she preach the sermon? And 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35 and 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 make it clear that she may not. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. She's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. She is to be silent in the church. We're not saying she can't have a ladies' Bible class at her home at some time and teach other ladies or children. That's fine. But she's not to preach in the church assembly. Mike from Indiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Concerning women preaching in the church, it's my contention that the woman is not sinning because she is preaching. The man is sinning because he is supposed to be doing it, and he is allowing her to take his place. If you go back to Genesis, it's clear, it says that the woman was deceived, but the man sinned. If you go to Judges, you'll see that Deborah actually told the general that because you are having me to go with you, it'll be a woman that kills the king. It's the same thing with women preachers. It's not the woman sinning, the preaching. It's the man who's supposed to be doing it, that he's the one that sinned.
Mike, I can appreciate your point. I know what you mean. But how about we agree that it's a sin on both parties' part? The men are sinning because they're allowing the women to preach, and they're not supposed to do that. They become a partaker in her evil deeds if they allow it. And then the woman is violating 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35 and 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 that tells her not to preach. Speak in the church, for example. Can we agree on that, Mike? They're both violating the Word of God?
It's a joint sin, yes.
Yeah, thank you for your call. Do you have any follow-up? Any more follow-up?
Not really.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, take it easy.
And Mike's making a good point here that I had overlooked in the first part of the thing, and that is, well, I was just in a Bible class last night where the teacher of the Bible class made the point, and we were talking about this subject, and he made the point that a lot of times women are perhaps taking over in the pulpit because the men are not doing their job. They're not taking the leadership role as they ought to, and so that the women are trying to fill that void. Now, as the teacher pointed out last night, that doesn't justify what the women are doing. They're not to teach in the assembly, 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. But it also points out the fact that Mike is showing us is that the men are also at fault because they're allowing it, or they're not filling the leadership role as they ought to. if the plan, if we work the plan like God specifies, the men will be preaching in the church. And then perhaps if they do that, the ladies who are godly won't even feel the need to, because the men are taking their role seriously and they're doing their job, and the women won't feel like they need to do it anyway. But when I say that, I'm not justifying any woman preacher at all. It's the man is at fault for allowing the women to preach and for not taking, doing the preaching himself, not taking the leadership roles he ought to. And the women who then do this, they're also violating the Word of God. God means what he says when he says women are to keep silence in the church. It's a shame for women to speak in the church, 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2. A woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. Now, like I said early on, I can't think of any particular topic that's taught any clearer than these two passages when they forbid women preachers. Yet, this is just a guess on my part. 70 to 80% or more of the churches in the United States that say they're Christian churches allow women to preach from the pulpit. Why? When the Bible is so clearly against it. They didn't a long time ago. I think that many churches have lost sight of the fact that the Bible is supposed to be their guidebook. When they decide how they're going to operate their church, let's say, for example, they start a new church and they're deciding how they're going to operate it, whether or not they're going to allow women to preach, they don't consult the Bible to find out how they're going to operate this church. And that's what we should do. If they would consult the Bible, they would see that women are not to speak in the church, and they would not allow it. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, call us at 877-655-6755. You know, we've been talking about women preachers, and that is the focal point of the debates this Saturday night. And by the way, again, if you live within reasonable driving distance of Meridian, Mississippi, and you would like to hear a Bible debate, why don't you come out Saturday night at 6 o'clock? And this particular one should be especially interesting, being on women preachers. And, of course, you'll need to know how to get there, directions and time and facilities and everything. So send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and I'll send you an announcement about the debate. We've been talking about women preachers, but what about women pastors? You know, you can preach from the pulpit and not be the pastor. Is it okay for a woman to be a pastor? Well, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says the head of the woman is the man. The head of the woman is the man. And then we come down to 1 Timothy 3, verse 2 says a bishop then must be the husband of one wife, talking about elders or pastors, bishop. Different words for the same thing, the same office. Must be the husband of one wife. Why must an elder, a pastor, be a husband? Because a pastor or elder is a leadership position. And for passages like 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says the head of the woman is the man. The man is to take the leadership role. That's what a head of the body is. It's the leadership. It leads the body. So the leadership roles in the church, for example, as we're talking about right now, should be filled by men. That's why the bishop, the pastor, elder, should be a husband. Can't be a wife. It needs to be a man, because this is a leadership role. So not only is it wrong for a woman to preach from the pulpit, it's wrong for her to be a pastor, elder, or bishop. Sam from Mobile, Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, the comment was, you were speaking about, I think your previous caller was talking about men and their responsibility, and I agree that on that particular point that men have been sort of slack in their leadership, and not just in the church, but even in government and even in our schools as far as principals, and women have just took it upon themselves, as he was saying, to lead since men wouldn't. But I was going to say that even if men were doing their job, and even if they were leading, the competition would still be there, because they simply have a desire to lead and have had that desire since they've been here. And it started with Eve.
Okay, that's a good point, Sam. But you agree with me. You agree with me that the Bible forbids that, taking that leadership role by the women, though, right?
Yeah, I agree with the scripture.
Yeah.
I agree with the scripture wholeheartedly. And like I said, it started with Eve as in partaking of the fruit. She did not consult with her husband before she took part of it. and the man failed, as the previous guy who commented said, he failed in the fact that he did not consult with God before following the leadership of the woman.
Sam, thank you for your call. You're making a good point. Michael from Asheville, North Carolina. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call, and may God bless you for the work you're doing there. My question was at the end of life here on earth. I've heard a couple of different thoughts on that. One is absent from the body and present with the Lord. One at the when the Lord returns, that we'll be met up by the people who have passed before. I'm just wondering what the answer is. I've never found an answer to it.
Well, in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, when Jesus comes back, it says the earth and the elements therein are going to be burned up. So first of all, at the end, there'll be no more earth.
Okay.
Then in a passage like, I'm not sure this is going to answer your question fully, Michael, but in a passage like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm looking starting at verse 16. It says, and it's talking about the second coming of Christ. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so, basically, the dead in Christ are going to rise. The people who are still alive when Christ comes, we're all going to go to heaven. One other passage, Michael. In John 5, verse 28, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. So when Jesus comes back, that's going to be the end of the world. But before the earth is burned up, all the people who are dead were going to rise from the graves, and the ones that have been righteous will go to life eternal, and those who are wicked will go into condemnation. And also the people who are still alive when Jesus comes back, the same thing is going to happen to them. Does that answer your question, Michael?
That helps a lot. I had read something by Dr. Billy Graham one time and said that at the time of your passing, that the Lord would send his angel to guide you. My father-in-law on his deathbed whispered to my mother, do you see that angel at the foot of my bed? So I'm just wondering about that. Thank you very much.
Michael, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and we'll talk further about this, okay? Kay from California, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear right now.
Oh, I'm so sorry if I'm loud. I was just wondering, you know, when you say, and I am a woman who is staunchly against women being the biggest influence in her church. I believe that women should absolutely, because the Bible says we should influence our younger women, we should absolutely be an influence for the women in the church, but we should not be women who are above everything. But you also said that there are women who thought that they had to be in control of things, they had to fix it, basically. Let's say Ruth or Esther. I'm coming to you for the women who probably are going to be very offended or maybe upset by you saying women should not be words in the church at all, maybe. Maybe you should make that a little more clear, maybe?
Well, we already pointed out
that... For them.
We already pointed out that women...
I don't know where you're coming from, but for some people, it might be scared...
Thank you for your call, Kay. I'll try to explain off the air. We already explained that women can do many things to help along the gospel, including teach the gospel. We saw that from Titus 2, Acts 8, Acts 21. We don't have a problem with women teaching other ladies and children and things like that. But it's when they're not supposed to speak in the church is the focal point for the debate Saturday night. The Bible says this. I'm not the one saying that. It's God that says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Tom from New Jersey, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Tom, you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for the call. It's the first time I've called. I'm not very good at answering these, doing these types of things, so I'll try to get my question right out and have at it. What does the Bible say about women leading in other areas? So, for example, CEO. Can they be a CEO? What about, in the Army?
Well, how about Hillary Clinton become president? How about that?
Well, yeah, what does the Bible say about that?
Well, we read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, that said the head of the woman is the man. And that's talking about at any time. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, which we also read, reads, I suffer not a woman to teach. And we emphasized the teaching before, but it also says not to usurp authority over the man. The American Standard Version says have dominion over the man. And 1 Timothy 2 is not talking about the church assembly. It's talking about any time. So if Mrs. Clinton becomes president, she'll be violating passages like 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, because these passages are saying that even in areas of our secular life, men should take the leadership role. And don't we understand the Bible to teach that in places like Ephesians 5, where it says the husband is the head of the wife, meaning the head of the family? You see what I mean, Tom?
I do. If I could just push that just a little further on that. What about not a CEO doesn't report to a man or a woman. They report to a board of directors. So it's essentially a gender-neutral third party.
If the CEO is a woman, it's not who she's reporting to. It's the fact that she's in a leadership role over men who are under her in the company. That's the problem, Tom.
I see. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your perspective.
Tom, if you want to talk about it further, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. JW from Virginia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Make it quick. We have to go off the air in just a minute or two.
Okay. When we are born again, we become the sons and daughters of God. Are you saying that God makes a difference between men and women?
You know, when did God assign the role of actually birthing children? It's women, right? So, yeah, obviously okay. God does make a difference. Now, J.W., what did we read in 1 Corinthians 14 about?
I agree, but I have three daughters. I never had no sons. So my oldest daughter is the president of my company. So you're telling me that she cannot assert authority over people that work for her?
Yeah, if there's men working for her, then she's violating a passage like 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, which says she's not to have dominion over a man. So if you want to know more about the debate, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. It's going to be in Meridian this Saturday at 6. I'll send you the announcement so you'll know the directions and everything. Back to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. The Bible says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. That's right there, word for word from God. My opponent in the debate is going to be trying to prove that it's not a shame for women to speak in the church. So I'll be trying to agree with 1 Corinthians 14. It is a shame for women to speak in the church, and my opponent will be trying to prove it's not. I don't envy his position. He's going to be teaching something exactly contrary to the Bible. Hope to hear from you next week.